Welcome, everyone. Let us pick up where we left off. Agav, I looked a little more into a question that someone raised last time, which was, can you just cover the grave to avoid the sakana al pi nistar of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid? Can you just cover the grave with a tarp? And all the achronim made the same diuk from the Bach quoted in the Shach that we did, that you have to fill in the dirt in order to avoid the sakana. The Sefer Pachad Yitzchak by Rav Yitzchak Lamporti held that covering it with a tarp is good enough, but most Achronim assumed that you need to fill in the dirt to avoid sakana, and therefore you should not leave it even covered by a tarp. However, one kula found in the Birke Yosef in Hilchos Yontif is that this sakana only applies if you dig the grave for a particular person. If you're just developing a cemetery and digging graves stam, not for a particular person, then there's no sakana. So if they're just like building the cemetery and digging and preparing, etc., that's not a sakana, only if they're digging for a specific person. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says that's the minhag in Yerushalayim, that if you're just developing the cemetery, we're not makbid, but if you dig for a particular person, you have to fill in all the dirt. Okay, continuing where we left off. Everyone can hear me fine, right, Effie? Great. Okay. We're up to Se'if Beis of Simon Shin Lamed Tes, which is about Goses. So, Se'if Beis says, Misha Amr Lo Re'inu Krovcha Goses Hayom Shlosha Yamim Tzarech Les Abel Olav Devadei Kfar Meis. There's a rule that Rov Gosim Lamisa, the vast majority of people who are Goses, end up dying within 3 days. And therefore, again, nowadays doesn't come up so much because A, we have communication, so we know who died and who lived, and B, we don't have so many gosasim because people are in the hospital and they're hooked up to devices and they don't always display signs of imminent death because they're not breathing naturally on their own. But if you would be a gosas, then after 3 days, you would assume he died, even for the purpose of sitting Shiva for him. Here you get a very interesting discussion, which is a bit of a tangent, which is discussed in the Pisrei Tshuva, Sifkat and Gimel, and Rabbi Kiva Eger hints at this. Here you have a problem. L'chora, if you leave a goses, his wife can't remarry. Because out of chumer de'ishas ish, just that he probably died, maybe he lived. But if you're Miss Abel, then the Sefer Itter says, whenever you are Miss Abel, that you, if you're Miss Abel of someone, people assume the wife can remarry. And therefore, you can't be Miss Abel of someone if it'll lead to a past shasha violation of ishas ish. So why are we Miss Abel on a goses after 3 days if it might lead to his wife remarrying and then it'll be a shash of an iser chumer of ishas ish? That is what all the Achronim here struggle with. There are five basic opinions about this. There are five basic opinions about this. I'll just mention the five basic opinions. Maybe I'll even put them on the board. Let's see if we can get a board up here. Give me just half a second. I apologize. I don't totally know what I'm doing here, but I'm learning. Okay, that's better. Okay. Okay. The five basic opinions are, the Maharchash, quoted also in the Rabbi Kiva Eger here, the Maharchash says that his wife is not muteris and you're not misabel against the Mechaber here. The Mechaber is wrong. You're not misabel because it might lead to a mishal of his wife. the Beis Shmuel in Hilchas Eben Ezer, the big, gigantic Simon Yud Zayin, which deals with Aguna, says the opposite. He says, you're Mas'abel, so you're sure he's died, and his wife is Mutter. We're so sure he died that his wife can remarry. The Rush and the Tor, the Fi, the Mishkanos Yaakov, says that his wife is Asura, but you're still Miss Abel, and the Mishkanos Yaakov's whole vart is that the Rush and the Tor don't hold like the Sefer Itter. It's not a good answer for the Mechaber. The Mechaber holds like the Sefer Itter, and this is the low Sefer HaItter. The Sefer HaItter is the first one who made this gzera that the wife might be married. It's not found in the Gemara. So they say the Rush and the Tor said this. We're against the Sefer HaItter. Doesn't explain how we can say it. Okay, but there are two answers in the Achronim who want to have their cake and eat it too. Say, look, the Mechaber, obviously his wife can't remarry. And obviously the Mechaber Paskin, there's a Velas. So there must be some answer. One of these is the Noda Behuda and the Chacham Tzvi. They say his wife is Asura, but yet there's a Velas. How could there be a Velas if his wife is Asura? It might lead to a Michshol. They make an Okimta. The Okimta is the guy's single. Yeah, it's only if he's single that you're Misabel. Echnami, married not. Married not Misabel, but a single guy, there's no fear of a Michshol because he has no wife to remarry. So they say this Mechaber is only talking about a single guy. The truth is there's a base mayor who gives another answer, which is very reasonable. Says the base mayor, he says his wife is Asura, yet there's a Velus. And what Okimta does he make? He makes the Okimta. That the wife is nearby where the guy was a Gosase. Meaning, the wife's not within a day's journey, or 2 days' journey, or 3 days' journey, but she's within 5, 6, 7 days' journey. She's within 2 weeks' journey of where he was a Gosase. Mistama, before she gets married, she'll get better news. It's not like he's at the other end of the earth. Meaning, if she's nearby, she'll get the news. People don't remarry in 1 day or 2 days or a week. It takes them a month or two to remarry. By a month or two, she will get more clarity. Okay, so that is basically the question is, how do we answer up our Mechaber? Either we say the Mechaber is wrong, there's no Avelos, or the big hit his wife's allowed to remarry, which is a big kula in Ashes Ish that no one but the Beis Shmuel agrees with. Or you say, well, he was quote Rush in the Torah, who hold that we're not worried Avelos will lead to remarriage, but he shouldn't have. Or you say he's only talking about a single guy who has no wife. Or I think the push-up shot is you're talking about where the wife and the husband live nearby each other within a couple of weeks' journey. And therefore, she'll for sure find out before there's time to remarry, and there's no need for Xera. As opposed to if he would be 8,000 miles away, where there'd be a need for Xera. Okay, in any case, this is an interesting discussion, but let's go weiter in the Shulchan Aruch. Omrim tzidika dinim yitzias neshama ukshemagil adayna emes korea ha'avel. You say tzidika din in this madrich. I pointed out they have these madrichs with all the things a rabbi need to know. It says when the guy dies, everyone else says tzidika din, which is Hatzur Tamim Palo. It's a few psukim here. And they say, Dayan Ha'emes, Baruch Hashem Lekenim Acholam Dayan Ha'emes, and Tir Kriya. This is not the most common practice. It seems to be Al Pi Halacha that obviously the ideal time to Tir Kriya is right at the time the guy dies. But since Al Pi Halacha, the Avil could also Tir Kriya at the funeral, the minhag nowadays of most people is that since they'll probably end up tearing Kriya wrong because they're very distraught and the rabbi's not there with them and, you know, everyone expects them to tear Kriya at the funeral, even though the strict din is to tear Kriya at the moment of Petira, most people nowadays wait until the funeral to tear Kriya because that's also okay, and that way the rabbi will make sure everything's done right and they won't make any mistakes in it. So most people don't tear Kriya at the time of Petira, even though it would be theoretically ideal. Isaac.
As in, because that now that is the so even someone who knows the halacha, should he wait until the funeral?
Or I think someone who knows the halacha should do what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. But like, you know, someone who's a rabbi knows that halachas do what it says in Shulchan Aruch. But I understand that nowadays, since it could be that your average Baal HaBos would tear career wrong if he was very distraught and there wasn't a rabbi around to tell him what to do. And therefore, I understand why most people don't do Sif Gimel. Theoretically, I think someone should. Dalid. Kaven shenata adam lamos ein mashayim li pared mi menu. Kadesh lo teitzei nafshavu yechidi. When someone's about to die, you're not allowed to leave him alone. When someone's about to die, they might not even realize they're being left alone, because usually their eyes are closed and they're not really paying attention to what goes around them, or you don't know if they're listening or not, or maybe they're in maybe they're unconscious, etc. But it doesn't matter. The neshama knows, and we have a mesora that the neshama is very that it's very difficult for the neshama. The nefesh is mishtomemes when it leaves the guf, and if someone's there, then it comforts the neshama, and therefore it's considered a very, very big thing in halacha to be with someone at the moment he passes away, even if physically he's not really noticing. This is not the pshutah. He's bringing us an asmachta for this in the pasuk. It's obviously not the pshutah shall make up, but the drash of the asmachta is that the person who is niftar will live forever and not go to Gehenna. Ki yireh chacham yamusu, when you see the chacham dies, when other people see him die, then he won't be afraid of Gehenna, and he'll be able to feel the confidence of eternal life. So therefore, that's an asmachta, but the asmachta is not really ma'akev. The mesorah came before this asmachta. Hey, this is halacha lemaisa. Minag lishpo kalamayim she'uvim she'bishchunas ha'meis. It is a minag to pour out all of the mayim she'uvim. That means not water in the tap, not water in a well, but all the water that's in any kli, in the pitchers or things like that, even in bottles, right? You bought bottled water and you haven't opened the bottles yet. That's still mayim she'uvim. It's a minag to pour it all outside onto the street when someone dies. Why would there be such a minhag to pour the water out just because someone dies? So the shach here brings that to machlokas. There are two different reasons. The first reason is a practical reason, and the second reason is a mystical reason. The first reason is because there's a din of motzi diba huksil. You're not supposed to share bad news. Okay, nowadays people like to share all kinds of news. Give me a second, Shai. But al pi halacha, you're really not supposed to share bad news. I'm not saying when it's important, etc. But you're not stam supposed to share bad news unless it's super duper crucial. And therefore, you shouldn't go around telling people, did you hear Plony died? Did you hear Almoni died? If it's they have to do something about it, that's one thing. There's a big nafkamina. But you shouldn't stam and be the one to spread the word. Let people figure out on their own, etc. Let them notice. Let them ask. You'll say, yeah, you know. You shouldn't go around like announcing, you're spreading exciting news. You're not excited, but you shouldn't spread bad news. And therefore, the simon was when they saw you pour the water out, that was a way of telling them that someone died without physically telling them. It was just a way of hinting that someone died. I've seen in the modern day poskim, they say nowadays when we have moda'ot evel, we put signs on the wall instead of telling them, and there's a lot of communication, etc. They're not so convinced that this reason applies. The simple shot is that the first reason we're not really choshish for nowadays, because there's lots of other ways for people to know. And not only that, they probably won't see you pouring all your water out. However, the second reason applies even nowadays, which is obviously we don't understand, or at least I don't understand what this means, but I understand the nafkamina. The Malach HaMaves leaves a bit of death, the blood of death. He washed his sword, whatever it may be. He leaves a sakana in the water. Basically, when the Malach HaMaves kills someone, there's sakana in all the water, and therefore it's sakana to drink the water. And therefore, you have to pour it out because of sakana. If it's because of sakana, even if we don't understand the sakana based on modern science, we're still choshesh, and it would apply even nowadays. So halacha is, now there are many, many nafkaminas between these two. I'll just mention some of the nafkaminas between these two reasons. If here you have hoda'a and here you have sakana, one nafkamina is what's discussed in the Rabbi Kiva Eger, quoting the Birkei Yosef. The truth is also the Pesachei Tshuva, quoting the Birkei Yosef, etc. What about a goy or a nafel. Nafel meaning a miscarriage, or a stillborn, right? Where there's no need to tell everyone because there's no avelus, or a guy, there's no need to tell them because there's no avelus, but there's still a malach ha-maves. So if it's because of hoda'ah, then you don't have to. If it's because of sakana, then you still have to worry about the sakana. Again, who knows if he used the same sword for goyim and Jews and for nephilim and bar kayama, etc. But lemaisa, we are machmir. Another example would be, what about bishel b'mayim? What if you cooked food with that water? Now, there's no, you know, if it's just a hodah, you wouldn't waste food to throw it out. You would say that water is that food is now mutter, because you're not going to waste valuable food just to give people a hint, and they might not even get the hint if they see you throwing out chicken soup. But if it's mishum sakana, even if you spent a lot of money in chicken and you made chicken soup, it should still be usher because of the sakana, because you know, sakana is even worth wasting money for. Halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, we paskin, again, this reason we're not worried about, but we agree with the reason of sakana nowadays, which means that we would take this seriously, like all the sakanas, even that we don't understand. Okay, those people who don't take any sakana seriously, I don't know what they would do, but the minigolems take all the sakanas of the Gemara seriously, and therefore, it would be chayav, no matter who died, even for someone who there's no avelus for, and there's no need to inform people. And it would be usur even b'di'evit if you cooked with that water, etc. Of course, another nafkin, which doesn't say here but was obvious, what if the person died, as is common nowadays, died in the hospital? Then if it was mitam hoda'a, you'd be chayav to pour out the water in his home, because you have to tell people that he died. But if it's mitam sakana, what's the sakana's house? The malach ha-maves didn't go to his house. The malach ha-maves only went to the hospital. So nowadays, we don't apply the reason of sakana, of hodah. We only are choshish for sakana, because they'll find out anyway through the signs and through the emails. So we're only choshish sakana, which means that we don't have to practice this so much nowadays. If someone died in the hospital, pour out the water in the hospital. That's the hospital's business, but you don't have to pour out the water in the guy's house, which is why nowadays, usually we don't keep this minhag of pouring out water, because we don't need it for hodah, we only need it for sakana, and most people die in hospitals. But if someone dies at home, then you'd have to keep this minhag. Shai. You have to unmute yourself to ask a question.
Sorry, going back to the first, the previous halacha about not leaving someone alone, how serious is that issur? Would that be more machmir if there's no one else there? Like, if there's already people there, but I need to go somewhere, or someone needs to go somewhere.
No, that just means one person has to be with them. You don't need a lot of people with them. Meaning that could be nice, but that's not a halacha.
Meaning so there's no value. Meaning so you could leave then.
Right. The ikar is shel ketzei v'hu yachidi.
Right.
You could leave as long as one person's left.
And then the second, for this halacha, I was there when someone was dying, and they, like all the nurses in the hospital brought and filled up cups of water. So Rebbe doesn't think that that's really, that's like they dafka when they said it was going to be time for the Tzias Neshama, like they filled up cups of water to spill them out.
They dafka filled them up so they could pour them out to be Mekai.
Yeah, like none of us told them to, but they mamish did. Like they went and filled up and brought in cups of water, and I didn't understand it. I mean.
Aha, so I wonder, I'm not sure, the nurse in the hospital generally follow old Sephardim and hug them. They know what they're doing. Some of them in Hagim are right, some of them are wrong, but they know they're in Hagim. I don't know. It doesn't seem to make sense based on this. If it's to tell people, everyone right. Who sees them pour out the water knows anyway. If it's for Sakana, so if they wouldn't have filled up the water, there'd be no Sakana in the first place. So I don't know why the nurses did that. It's a good question. I'll try to look into it.
For both reasons, why would it matter that it's Mayim She'ud and not something else?
Because for the hodah, the point would be just to pour out some water, and everyone has a little mayim she'uvim, and that was a good way to make the minhag. You don't want to pour out your whole well or pour out everything in the reservoir. For sakana, you have to say that water that's mechover lekarka, so the malach hamavis doesn't affect because it's it's mechover lekarka. He only affects the water that's she'uvim. Okay, I don't know. I don't usually talk to the malach hamavis. So I can't ask him why. Ellie.
At what point does the Malach HaMaves enter the room?
I don't know when he enters the room, but it's only Sakana when the person actually passes away.
Unmute. Meaning it's okay, let's say, to drink water if someone's dying in front of you?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, obviously, figure out what's socially appropriate. But absolutely, it's only at the moment of death that the Malach HaMaves does this. Binyamin. I unmuted you. No, I didn't.
I'm good. If a person's in the middle of taking a drink, is that not Mayim Shuvim anymore?
No, that has nothing to do. Zochlin is still Shuvim. Shuvim can still be Zochlin. Nice try, but yes. Isaac.
Other water-based drinks, this wouldn't apply to?
I'm assuming it's only water.
Okay.
In general, when it comes to Inyanin that we don't understand, I'll pee sod, so we should assume it's only what they're talking about. Shai, I don't know if your hand is raised again, or if it's just your old hand. Okay, that's a good answer. Anyway, Lemaisa, who has to pour out the water, is a big machlokas. It says here, the shchuna. What is a shchuna? Like, shchuna means bayit v'gan? That would be a lot of water, if someone died at home in bayit v'gan. Shchuna means, you know, and if it was in the hospital, all of Ein Karim. So what does shchuna mean? So here, the Taz says shchuna means three houses. We're not exactly sure what three houses means. We're not exactly sure what three houses means. The 1 second. The Chamudi Daniel quote in the Pesach Teshuvah Vav says three, including the dead person's house. So it's him and two neighbors. What exactly does this mean? Him and two neighbors. Him and two guys on the right and two guys on the left for a total of five, or him and the guy on the right and the guy on the left for a total of three. This seems to be a machlokas. If you look in the Gilyon Marsha here, he says two houses on either side, five houses, two on the right, two on the left, and his house. If you look in the Kudas HaKesef, he says, Mishu Shachin Mamish, a neighbor Mamish. Sounds like only the guy next to him. Him, the guy next to him, and the guy on the other side of him. So it sounds in the Kudas HaKesef like it's only three total, and it sounds from the Gilyon Marsha that it's five total. What is the minhag? It's not exactly clear what the minhag is. The Gesher Achayim says it's only the minhag is only three total. Different people disagree. Even he says there's some disagreement. Lemaisa, it seems that there'd be room to remake all to say only three houses total, even though there's no clear minhag. Binyamin.
In Gittin, this is a machlokas rishonim, isn't it? About what a shchuna is. Here, there's only what seems to be only one opinion brought down.
It's a good question. I'm not sure exactly how they decided on this opinion. It's a good question.
It's the same Tosos, I think. I mean, I don't know if it's the same Tosos, but I mean, it's Tosos in both places. But like, they just seem to leave out the other.
So I don't know. We have to iron it a little more. Effie.
Does it only work horizontally? Like, in an apartment building, the apartment on top and on bottom, do they get affected?
It's a good question. My intuition is that it should be that top and bottom should. That's a good question. My intuition is that top and bottom should also be affected, but I haven't seen it in the poskim. Yes, Ellie.
And is the same thing is true for hotel rooms?
Lechora, people usually don't die in hotel rooms.
I'm in hospital rooms. Sorry.
Yeah, look, all right, it's an interesting question. I haven't seen in the hospitals. I don't know what the nurses do that Shai mentioned, but what they should really do is go to the next room and pour out everyone's water. Like, right. Go to the next room, confiscate the guy's water, and pour it out. You know, maybe he'll sue them. I don't know. Lechora, you know, maybe it should apply to the whole hospital. I don't know. Lechora, it should apply at least to the room next door. If I was in the room next door, I would pour out my water. But I'm not setting hospital policy. I'll leave that to the Rav of every hospital. I'll mention a few more details, but then I really want to move on. One detail is, what if it's on Shabbos? So the Pesach Teshuvah here in Simchat Dalid quotes that on Shabbos we don't do it. After all, we don't want to tell people bad news, even with a hint on Shabbos. and the Malach HaMavis doesn't wash his knife, doesn't leave poison on Shabbos because he respects Shabbos, and is all machlokes. You have to pour it out. Hatzei Shabbos, the Gesher Chaim Paskins, that you even on Matzei Shabbos you don't have to pour it out. Who is the Gesher Chaim, by the way? Very important sefer. I should mention a few svarim. Maybe every shiur I'll mention one sefer. Rav Yechiel Mikl Tukachinsky was one of the big rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael in the first half of the 20th century. And he was Koveya. He recorded was Koveya the Minig Eretz Yisrael in a lot of things. He wrote the Luach Eretz Yisrael, which is the mainstream Minig Eretz Yisrael. It's published by his son, Ad HaYom HaZeh, every year. He updates it, doesn't change it, just puts in what applies that year. He wrote the Sefer Eretz Yisrael, a slim volume we have in the Beis Medrash, when you're allowed to go there someday. That brings out all the Minhagim of Eretz Yisrael that we generally try to follow. He was the one who was Koveya, the Minhag of the entire world. When Shabbos ends, the entire world ends, almost ends Shabbos at 8, when the sun is 8.5 degrees below the horizon. That's the Shita of Yechiel Mikl Tukachinsky. And his main sefer is Gesher Chaim. It's 3 volumes, although now it's published in 2 physical volumes, Aleph to Beis and Gimel, or maybe Aleph and Beis to Gimel, I forget. Anyway, which is about the laws of Avelos. Chelik Aleph, the halachas of Avelos, Chelik Beis, the lundus explanation of some of those topics, and Chelik Gimel, philosophy. So in general, in Eretz Yisrael, they usually follow the Gesher Chaim. Of course, it's a usually. Even in America, they often do, although, you know, it's not like the 100% number one authority like it is here. Anyway, very important sefer. We should all flip through it when we're in the Beis Medrash. Okay, maybe we should all flip through it, like one guy should flip through it, give it 3 days, let someone else flip through it so you don't touch each other's germs. But we should all flip through it when we're in the Beis Medrash. That's the Gesher Chaim. So he says, if someone dies on Shabbos, we don't pour out on Shabbos, we don't pour out on Matzei Shabbos. The Pesachei Tshuva also discusses, can you use it for laundry? The water for laundry doesn't come up nowadays. We don't usually use Mayim Shuvim for laundry. We have a tap water. But the Gesher Chaim says generally not. We're machmer even for laundry and even for showering. Okay, doesn't really come up a ton. Last thing that Taz mentions, the very last line in the Siman, that Yizar Shelo Yetzah Shom Eiver Minenu Chutz Lamita. It's very important. Quotes from the Rav Menachem Rakanati Mekubel, who says that it's important that all of a person's limbs be on the bed when they die. They don't stick their limbs out beyond the bed. And therefore, one should try to be makbid on this. Generally, when people die, they're usually not stretching their limbs so much anyway. But what that means is that you should, I mean, it's not hard to be makbid on. Usually when people are very, very sick, we put them all on the bed. We don't put them with their arms or legs sticking out. So it's not hard to be machmir on this. I don't understand why he's machmir on this. It's Alpi Kabbalah. Okay, now I want to move on.
How does that fit with not touching a ghost face or someone on the brink of death?
This is a that is a fascinating question. How does that fit with not moving a ghost? After all, should you move his limbs back onto the bed? If he already moved them off the bed, or is that an isser of touching a goses? That is a great question. If I can find the answer in 3 seconds or less, then I will. I just saw in the sefer he pointed out another kind of water you'd have to pour out is water in vases with flowers. That's also my issue. You might not think about it, but it is true. So in one sefer I have, which is called Me'olam V'Ad Olam, published by a rabbi I know, Gavriel Goldman. I mean, I don't know him very well, but I know him a little. He quotes from a sefer I haven't heard of, that what if he sticks his limb out of the bed and you're not allowed to touch a goses? He makes a compromise. If he sticks his limb out of the bed on his own, don't move it back because you can't touch a goses, but cover it with a blanket so at least it'll be mitzurf to what's on the bed. Okay, excellent question, Adi. And then now we found an answer. Okay, great. Someday when we're all able to see each other in person, I'll bring in and show you all these svarim. Simen Shin Mem, Hilchos Kriya. Okay, let's move through a little Hilchos Kriya. Aleph, Misha Meslo Mesu Shem Mesim Shoroilas Abelolehem, someone who their relative died or their Chayvin Avelos, exactly who these are we know, but we'll get to it later. Chayiv lekra lav, you're chayiv ter kriya. Everyone knows that. But sarsh shekrim umad, very important. The Gemara says it's a big machlokas whether it's ma'akev or not, and we paskin it's ma'akev. That's pshat in the Gemara. It's a ma'akev that kriya has to be standing. Bimkor miyushav lo yotza, and if someone tore sitting down, then they are not yotze. But tzarich lachzer v'lekroa, obviously. Ulechachila tzarich lekroa kodem shiyistom pnei ameis. Ulechachila, remember we said, the ideal time to tear, although nowadays we don't for technical reasons, is at the time of tiro. All of this lo aleinu, of course. But the lechachila gomer is before yistom agoli, before they cover up the mace in the grave. Like before they start covering the grave. Because the Gemara points out that kriyas be b'shas chimam at a time of, how do you say chimam, at a time when someone is very distraught, when they are when they have a strong emotional feeling. And after the mace is already covered up, the feeling starts to subside because it's like over and done with. Therefore, the kriya must lechatchila, b'di'evid, they tear when they can. We'll see till when. But lechatchila, it has to be before the mace is covered in the grave. What is the mainstream minhag nowadays? The mainstream minhag nowadays is that, I think both in Eretz Yisrael and in America, the mainstream minhag is that they tear right before the funeral starts, because that's a big shas chimam. So really, halachically, any time someone's very distraught, it could be in the middle of Es Beidim, it could be as they're lowering him into the grave, could be when they leave the funeral home, like there are many moments when they're distraught. But the minhag, out of all this lechachila, from the time of death till covering him in the grave, the minhag is to do it right before the funeral starts. Like the rabbi takes the avelim aside, we'll see how far aside, and helps them tear right before the funeral starts. That is our minhag, because that's a big shas chimam. The shach points out here in Sif Katan Gimel that whether or no matter what time it is, we tear at the time saying Dain Ha'emes, because that makes it a bigger shas chimam. It's not that Dain Ha'emes is a mitzvah, is a brach on kriya. Dain Ha'emes is a separate halacha. Kriya is a separate halacha. But since when the person says Dain Ha'emes, they feel more chimam, therefore it's the most appropriate time to tear, and therefore the mainstream minhag olam. Obviously, if someone did it at the time the relative passed away, they shouldn't do it again. But the mainstream minhag olam is that right before the funeral starts, the rabbi tells them to say Dain Ha'emes and helps them tear. One last thing in this si'if. The Shach points out that the Chi of Kriya is Midrabanan, even though it has a remez in Tanakh, and even a remez in the Chumash, it is a Chi of Durabanan. Just give me 1 second, and I'll take Binyamin's question. The Pisri Tshuva quotes from the Birke Yosef that, what do you mean the rabbi helps them tear? Who should tear? The Birke Yosef says that, he doesn't say the rabbi, he says someone else should tear their clothes. Why? Because it is more of a humility, a bush and Kabbalah Sadin. It is more of a sort of accepting of the Gzeira when you are passive and let someone else tear your clothes. That sort of lowers you more. And he doesn't mean busha embarrassing, like humiliating, but busha like lowering you. It is more lowering to have someone else tear your clothes, and therefore someone else should tear your clothes. However, there are achronim who argue, and they say that's a cute svara he came up with, but it's against a regular kolator kulalachic principle. And everyone knows what that principle is, mitzvah bo yosem reshlucho. You're supposed to do mitzvahs yourself, not through a shliach. And therefore, it's a machlokes achronim. The minhag nowadays is to be yotze both. Is that the rabbi starts tearing and the person finishes themselves. That way they're yotze, both the Birkei Yosef, having someone else tear your clothes. But since they finish themselves, they're yotze, mitzvah yosef b'shlucho. And it's also good because you need the rabbi to start because the person doesn't know what they're doing and is going to get confused. But once the rabbi starts for them, then they can finish on their own and it's very easy. So that's a good way to be yotze everything and make it practical. That is the minhag. Nowadays, you ever go to a funeral, you'll see them do that, Binyamin, then Jacob.
Can I just clarify what the best right minhag lechatchila is when to tear? Is it like better? It's still better to tear when at like b'shas misa.
If you know what you're doing, I think it's still better to tear b'shas misa. But
is there more to know other than you're supposed to tear b'shas misa?
I mean, know how to tear all of Siman Shin Mem. Not right. All, but a few places. Basically, like the teens of Siman Shin Mem. You know, we'll get to them. You know, Siman Shin Mem, you should tear b'shas misa. But I have heard of Talmid Chacham who tear b'shas misa. But if you want to rely on the minhag olam, that's fine. So I think the minhag olam is fine. if you ask me, I think, and I've heard from Talmidei Chachamim, that it's better to tear b'shas misa if you know how. Of course, it's better if none of us have to deal with this at all.
Saying most Bnei Torah, like, will wait till the funeral still?
I think so, because they don't necessarily know the halachos of Kriya.
Right, okay.
But I think a lot of rabbis won't, because they know Hilchos Kriya. That's my understanding. Jacob?
If somebody is tearing b'shas misa, would they be forgoing this Maila of the Birkei Yosef if they do it all themselves?
They would be forgoing the Maila of the Birkei Yosef. That is an interesting point. I mean, unless they have someone there who can help them out. Nirelani is daiti that nonetheless. I don't think the Maila of the Birkei Yosef is such a chiyuv. I mean, Birkei Yosef doesn't say it's a halacha. He just says that it's a tov to do because it's agmas nefesh, etc. Okay, but I hear the taino. Okay, the Pesachei Tshuva also brings down that you shouldn't tear more than you have to because of baltashkes. Like, don't make a tear that's longer or deeper than it should be. I don't know, nowadays when someone tears a shirt, they throw it out. They don't wear it anyway. Like, it doesn't really matter how many inches you tear. So I don't know. I don't think that applies nowadays. Might mean don't tear more clothing than you're supposed to. But, you know, the poskim makes it sound like don't tear more inches than you're supposed to because of baltashkes. But nowadays we're going to throw out the shirt after you tear it anyway. No one's going to, like, sew it up and wear it anymore. So I'm not worried about baltashkes. But for sure, don't tear, like, three shirts if you can only tear one shirt. That's baltashkes. Meaning we don't say kalamar berizim meshubach. We do balance it with baltashkes. Mechaber seif beis. Makom akriya. We're in the garment and... You know, when it's not a lumdish deep inyan, we're not going to chazer all the gemaras and rishonim just because we need to cover ground. Makam akriya b'chol makam v'vesa tzavar lefanav. The place to tear is from the neckline, the front of the neckline. The diuk is like the Ramban in the Beis Yosef, not the back of the neck over here, and not even the sides of the neck over here, only the front of the neck. Right? That's the diuk of the makaber. Only start from here, the front of the neck, lo aleinu. Avalom karla achrav, but if you tore in the back, of the neck, or at the bottom of the beged, or you tore from the sides, like you just like took the side of your shirt and started tearing, lo yatza. It has to be from the front of the neckline. V'yesh omer sheyotzim kor b'shulei abeged, v'cheno l'hakel l'kora b'shulei abeged, she'korin al shar mesim she'im mis'avlam aleihem, av ala mesim she'im krova, but mis'avlam aleihem, and yotzim p'yazov, tzorech l'kora b'yis atzav v'cheno agu. The Ramah says that there are some people are makel, you can tear from the bottom of the shirt, and the minig in his days was, if it's not a relative, you can be makel to tear from the bottom of your shirt. But for a relative, you have to tear from the front of the neckline. Nowadays, for non-relatives, we don't really tear anyway, so it's not such an afkamina, as we'll explain when we get to it. So lemaisa, you have to tear from the front of the neckline. The Pesachei Tshuva here brings down from the Chachmas Adam, one second, and then Yoni, that even tearing from the front of the neckline, from what I've seen, the minhagim of the Rabbanan is that you might think the front of the neckline means only like from here. But for I've seen the minhagim of the rabbis nowadays, since most people walk around with their buttons open anyway, therefore they consider all of this to be the front of the neckline. Since it's normal to open your top button, this is not considered a side of the shirt, this is considered a top of the shirt. And therefore, if someone tears from here, that's okay, because this is all considered part of the neckline. I know you could close it and make it not the neckline, but this is all considered part of the neckline, and people are makel to tear from here. Yoni. Okay, one last thing, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Chachmas Adam, which is that besides where you start tearing from, there's a direction of tearing, and then Eli. You have to tear downwards and not sideways. Like, I can't even start from here and tear sideways. It has to go downwards. Okay, his reason, I'm not sure how much applies to our clothing. He says when you tear sideways, it just looks like a natural rip and people won't realize for Avelos. But Lamaisa, we follow him anyway. You have to tear in a downwards motion, not in a sideways motion. It could be a little slant, but it has to be a downwards motion. Ellie, last question on this sif. Okay, no questions on this sif. Seif Gimel. Sheer kriya tefach. How far do you have to tear? You have to tear a tefach. B'imkar al meisu b'alahosu b'osu kriya al meis acher. This is all mefurish gemaras. If someone tore in one relative and then they want to add to the, they still have the same shirt and they want to add to it for another relative, either they're wearing the same shirt and another relative died, or another relative died and they're going to the funeral, so they want to be cheap and put on the old shirt so they don't have to tear a new one. This also comes up, people going to the kotel. Some people who are, you know, I don't know if this is called cheap. Maybe it's just called avoiding bal tashkis and called wise. Some people I know some big talmid chachamim who have a kotel shirt. They tear it when they go to the kotel once, and then they save it, and they tear it when they go to the kotel another time. Again, in a case where you're chayiv to tear, without getting into those details, or not are in you now. So if you want to add to the tear, im acher shivas hagi b'kol shu, after shiva, it's enough to just add a kol shu. B'mutok shiva tzar kefa, but within the shiva, the person has to add a tefach. What's the lumdus of this? We'll just explain a little lumdus. The Gemara doesn't say the lumdus, but I'm pretty sure this is the lumdus, that there might be two dinim in Kriya, a maisa and a totsa, let's say. Now, it's a little funny because you don't always have to wear a torn garment for 7 days when you're sitting Shiva, but there's shaykhus to having a tear in your garment without getting into details, and I know it's not universal, for all 7 days. So you'd say like this: when it's within Shiva, the first relative, then it's an ongoing chiyav totsah for 7 days to have a tefach. So therefore, if he needs another tefach for the second relative, he has to tear a second tefach. But when it's after the Shiva, there's no ongoing kiyum of having a tefach torn. And therefore, he doesn't need the tefach for the first relative anymore. And therefore, if he tears a kol shu, now he's created a tear of a tefach plus a kol shu, and that's good enough for the second relative. So I'm saying maybe the lumdus is, during Shiva, you need to keep the tefach for the first relative. And therefore, it can't count for the second relative. After Shiva, you don't need to keep the tefach for the first relative. And therefore, the first tefach can count for the second relative. You have to tear a kol shu to do a maisa. But once you've done the maisa, now you've done a maisa of a kera that's a tefach plus a mashu, and that is good enough. In any case, whether or not that's the lumdus, that's the halacha, except for v'yal aviv v'imo afilach or shiva korea ad shigales libo. The shir tefach is for other relative. But for parents, there's a more, we'll see, there's basically a list in this simon of all the differences between aviv v'imo and other relatives. For aviv v'imo, there's a more chomer chiyav kriya, and you have to tear more than a tefach. You have to tear to literally reveal the heart, meaning till below the heart, right? You know, if you have a heart, you know where it is. Or if you don't have a heart, you're potter from Kriya, and then it's okay. Se'if Dalit.
Ruvenesh?
That was a joke.
Ruvenesh, would you apply the same Maisa Tetsa question to the standing or sitting at the beginning of the simon?
That is a fascinating question, meaning if someone tore sitting down, would it be enough to just add a kol shehu? You would think perhaps yes. I haven't seen that in the post game, so I have to think about it. So go, who just asked that question? Raise your hand. I didn't hear who was talking.
That was sweet.
Okay. That's a great question. Would you say Anachanami, or would you say, for some reason, I think the answer is not in a chanami, and we'd have to think about it. So I'll leave that with Ian for now.
What about just machlokas as to whether standing versus sitting in the first place?
Meaning what's the lumdus of standing?
Right. If we generally want meisim to be done standing, if that's more of a thing, as opposed to if it's just to have the rip and we don't really care how you got it, sitting is less of an active.
Right. But we clearly need some sort of meisa because you have to add at least something. But yeah, that's not going to necessarily lead to all the conclusions we need. So I'll leave that also with Tzarek Ian for now. Dali, Kashem Shekoreal Krovo, Shemes Abelov, Kachkore Befne Krovo, Almesh, Shemes Likrovo. Here, this is a big machlokas. You might have noticed we're not sure how many shitas there are in the Rishonim because the Beis Yosef and the Torah and the Bach all argue about what the Rishonim held. The Rush seems to assume you have to tear on your relative's relative even if you're not with your relative. The Ramban assumes you only have to tear on your relative's relative if you're with your relative. And the Ravid assumes you have to tear right away if you're going to be with your relatives. There are up to three shitas. Why? We'll learn later on that you have to keep Shiva on your relative's relative only when you're with your relative. Let's use an example so it won't be so hard. Someone's grandfather died. When he's with his father, he has to keep Shiva. When he isn't, he doesn't. The Ramban says same thing for Kriya. When he's with his father, he has to tear. When he's not with his father, he doesn't. The Rush says no, Kriya's more chumer. There are a few cases where Kriya's more chumer than Avelus. Because the Gemara says, Kriya l'chud and Avelus l'chud. Whenever there's a machlokas, we paskin like the makel opinion of Avelus, But we don't paskin like the Mekel opinion in Kriya. So Kriya is more chomer than Avilus. Is it only more chomer in terms of Achras Sveikos? Or is it also different in terms of the nitty-gritty of the Lomdas? So that's a machlokes. The Ramban says, just like Avilus is only what's called the fun of, in the presence of the first degree relative, you have to miss Abel for the second degree relative. Likewise, Kriya is only the fun of. And the Raivan says, yeah, Kriya is only the fun of, but you do it beforehand if you're going the fun of. The Rush thinks, no, Kriya is totally different from Avilus. Kriya, you have to be korea for a second degree relative, even if you're never going to see the first degree relative. We paskin like the Ramban, says the Mechaber. No, in this way, at least, Kriya is like Avilus. You only have to tear for the second degree relative if you're standing next to, in the room with, the first degree relative. That's what it says right here. Korea bifne krovo al meshamesh lekrovo. You tear next to your first degree relative if his first degree relative died, for example. Ketzad harishamesh ben beno o achi beno. Someone's grandson died, or someone's son's brother, obviously someone's son's half-brother, not from him, died. Amo ein beno, someone's son's mother died. They're divorced, right? The guy's ex-wife dies, but it's a second-degree relative because it's his son's mother. Chayev l'krov b'fnei beno, he has to tear when he's in the presence of his son. Chinkari al chamim chamoso, likewise on his father-in-law or mother-in-law, this is a diok, all the Rishonim write, for since your wife is not blood, she's only related to you by marriage, you only have to tear for her parents, not for her other relatives. Ve'isha kares al chamiyah v'chamosa, and the wife on her father-in-law, mother-in-law. However, all this not halachal ma'isa says there are ve'inog and achshav kenik v'oshisbar l'kamen simshinai dal l'nyavelos. We don't have this minhag nowadays. Nowadays, no one does this anyway. Why does no one do this anyway nowadays? Because we'll see later in Shinai and Dalid, this is not a be'etzem chi of kriya. At least the way we paskin that it's only the fun of, it's not be'etzem chi of kriya. It's only a chi of Ben Adam, it's not a chiv ben unlachavir to the mace. It's only a chiv to the first degree relative. It makes your son feel better when you tear kriya when he's sitting shiva. It makes your brother feel better if you tear kriya while he's sitting shiva, etc. Lo aleinu. And nowadays the minhag is that everyone's mochel, and if everyone's mochel, the dead people can't be mochel. They're dead. But since it's only a chiv to identify with the live person, and it's not a chiv of cover to the dead person, that's the chakira. Is it a chiv of clapping the dead person? Or is it a chiyav to identify with the suffering of the living relative? One nafkamina is the Rosh and Ramban I mentioned. If it's to identify with the suffering of the living relative, it's only when you're in his presence. If it is a chiyav to be mechabed the dead person, then it's even if you're not in the presence of the in-between relative. The second nafkamina could be this Ramah. If it's to be mechabed the dead person, you have to do it. If it's only to identify with the suffering of the living person, then maybe it applies nowadays, maybe not. It depends if everyone's mochel. And the Ramah said everyone's mochel nowadays. Nowadays, I've never heard of anyone doing it. No one does it nowadays. Okay, so halacha l'maaseh, we don't have to worry about this sif. Did someone have a question? Just shout.
Hi, inventors. Question. I guess it's more theoretical now that we don't do it nowadays, but hypothetically, if the karov were to tear when he's bifnei krovo, would that be at any time of shat chimum? Where his karov could hypothetically tear kriya, or it's dafka when the karov is tearing kriya.
No. The shas chimum was only lichatchila. It has to be before the burial. Bidyavid, you have to tear kriya even after the burial. So if he only came after the burial, he would still have to tear kriya.
Even if his karov tore kriya previously.
Correct. As long as he comes during shiva.
Also, Benart, even if he's mochel, is it a mitzvah men a mufchar to do so?
No, because since no one else does it, it would be weird, and it's good not to be weird.
Got it.
That's a general rule. It's an important call.
Also, I had a question from before, but I forgot to take myself off mute, so you kept on going. If someone's wearing a jacket, is
we'll
the neckline defined?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, we'll get to jackets. There's a whole machlokes b'shach and taz about jackets.
Okay, got it.
Okay, Sifhei, Ha'omeid b'shas, now we get to something that you might not have heard of if you never either learned Moikatan or learned Hilchos Avelos. I'd hope that everyone would at least have done one of those by now. But the Gemara Moikatan says you have to do Kriya for pretty much everyone in the world by the time we get through with it. Ha'omeid b'shas, Yitzias v'shamash al isho ishim Yisrael, someone who stands at the moment of Kira of any Jew, whether man or woman. Here, this has to do with a machlokes. The Gemara says it's like seeing a Sefer Torah burned when you see a Jew die. The Rav, actually, everyone should take time out from their busy schedule, maybe over Venus Manin, and read in the Torah journal called Beis Yosef Shaul, published by YU, by the old Kol Elyon. I'm sure it's on yutorah.org. they published a Yiddish drasha by the Rav called the Yiddish Sefer Torah, together with a Hebrew translation by Rav Aaron Kahn, one of the big Talmidim of the Rav, who's a Rosh Shiva at YU still. And it's a beautiful drasha, the Rav, based on this Gemara. Yid is like a Sefer Torah, because the Gemara says, just like your Kriya, when a Sefer Torah is destroyed, as we know from the story of Yoyakim and Yirmiyahu, and Baruch, likewise, you have to tear Kriya when a Jew is destroyed, when a Jew passes away. The Rav is a beautiful drasha. How is a Jew like a Sefer Torah? We're not going to go into it now. It doesn't necessarily tie into the Halacha L'maisa, but it's definitely worth reading for everyone. And as you can imagine, Torah Sheba'al Peh, Torah Shebichsav, you know, Torah Shebichsav, the words are written on a parchment. Torah Sheba'al Peh, the words are written on the heart of a Yid. Okay, that's your Ben Hazman reading.
Know which volume it's in?
I think it's in volume 4 of Beis Yosef Shaul. Just search on Yatorah for Yehudi who say for Torah. I didn't mean you have to search right this second, although half of you no doubt are. Let's continue. So thank you. I appreciate it. Rashi might sound like he's saying because the Jew learns Torah, in which case some people say maybe it doesn't apply to a woman who's part of the Talmud Torah. However, that is not the Pashup Shat. It could be that even Rashi didn't mean it. We followed Ramban, who says it's just an example. It means because Jews are full of Torah mitzvot and are generally holy people and are holy like a Sefer Torah. That's what we paskin. Jews are holy like a Sefer Torah. Whether a man or a woman, whether you're chayiv to know Kol Torah Kula or not, every Jew has their share in Torah mitzvot. How about a little kid? Would this apply to a little kid? Would this apply to a little kid also? So this is a dion in the Nosei Kelim, the Shach and the Taz says, quote the Marshal, who say it doesn't apply to a little kid. So the little kid is Patur from Torah mitzvos. But the Bach says that, but if it's a boy who's already learning Chumash in Cheder, then it would apply. So interesting, like just the fact the kid does mitzvos for chinuch wouldn't make him a sefer Torah. But if he learns Torah, then that l'chorit would make him a sefer Torah. You could say a different lamdus. But halach l'maisa, that seems to be a wepaskin, that for a little kid, we don't do this anyway. But theoretically, this would apply to a man or a woman or a kid who learns Torah. But not to a kid who's too little to start chumash, but just was taught to do some mitzvos. Yes, Yoni.
Is the Bach assuming like Rashi? Or...
That is a good question. The Achronim point out the Bach would make sense for Rashi. He'd say, even if the Ramban's reason doesn't apply because he's not a bar mitzvah, but Rashi's reason applies, he has Torah in him. But then some of the Achronim say, no, even according to the Ramban, the Torah of a katan is more chashuv than the mitzvahs of a katan and makes him like a safer Torah. So I think it could be either way. But you're right. That is the probably even the majority understanding of the Bach, good point. Let me just see. Interestingly, though, I guess it would depend on this. The Berhetev quotes in the Radvaz, right? Notice the Berhetev usually doesn't say anything that you haven't seen in the Shach and the Taz. You could skip the Berhetevs, but take a glance, see if there's any parentheses. Here's this parentheses in the Berhetev. That means he's saying something not in the Shach and the Taz. He quotes in the Radvaz, but you don't tear on a katana. So that would prove Yoni's point, that the Radvaz is based on Rashi, that whoever's has Talmud Torah, whoever is a mitzvah's Talmud Torah, whoever is a mitzvah's Talmud Torah would be like a Sefer Torah. Meaning once you're an adult, you're chayiv in mitzvos, so whether man or woman. But when you're a kid, it's only if you're mitzvah and Talmud Torah, v'shinantum levanecha v'lod nosecha, only a kid who's old enough to learn Chumash, boy is old enough to learn Chumash, not a girl who's old enough to learn Chumash. And therefore, the post can be down there advised to a girl it doesn't apply, because she's not chayiv in mitzvos. And she's not part of Vishinantan Levanecha. For a boy, it does apply. He's part of Vishinantan Levanecha. And for a man or woman, it applies because they are Chayav in Kolotar Kula. Again, assuming that we would do this. Berhetev also points out from the Advaz that it doesn't apply on Shabbos. Obviously, you're not allowed to hear Kriya on Shabbos. And the Pisli Chuba discusses, so do you have to do it on Matzei Shabbos? And the answer is no. Once it happens on Shabbos, you're Potter on Matzei Shabbos also. He also quotes the Tefillah Moshe argues on the Advaz, says it applies to Ketana. So the Maisa, it's machlokes. Do you say that if you look in the Pisli Tshuva here, Sivkata and Gimel, hopefully I haven't confused you too much, he quotes from the Tfilal Moshe, Akhasav,
Ayin Sham. I thought it was from the Tefillah of Moshe. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, so Ketana is a machlokes. We will leave it at that, because I will just point out one thing. The one thing I want to point out is that the modern day poskim say, such as the Stechemed and the Das Torah written by the Maharsham, the Das Torah, the Perush on Shulchan Aruch by the Maharsham, that nowadays we don't do this. Why don't we do this nowadays? Because once upon a time, why don't we do this nowadays? Because of Exera. Once upon a time, people were very willing to sacrifice. And therefore, they would keep this halacha. Nowadays, people are very cheap. And we're afraid that if we say whoever's with the mace when he dies has to do a kriya, what will everyone do? They'll just run out of the room before he dies and they'll violate Shin Lamites Seif Dalid. And it'll be worse for the mace to let him die alone than to not do a kriya for him. And therefore, nowadays, the minhag has become, with rabbinic approval, that nowadays we don't keep this if at all as a gzeira, because we know people are in a low madrega and they'll just let the mace die alone. Some people also say if someone's like a doctor, it'll happen every day, and then how are they supposed to deal with it? But lemaisa, if someone only is with someone who dies once in a while, I think it would be kedai to be makbid on this. But in general, the minhag is to be makel on this. It would be a chumrah nowadays, because the modern day, not modern day achronim, the achronim of 100 years ago made a gzeira that we don't have to keep this, because they knew, sort of like Hillel's Prosbol, someone would do a worse avera to avoid violating this avera. They knew we would just let the guy die alone. Therefore, it's more worth it to stay with him, even if you're not going to hear kriya. That's why you've never seen anyone do this nowadays. Yes, Effie.
Is there any issue with tearing kriya unnecessarily?
Yes, it's batashis to tear unnecessarily, but to fulfill a halacha in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch is not unnecessary.
But is that, it would it be considered necessary to, if someone is like feeling a particular amount of anguish, or to you know, post facto, not necessarily be mekayim this halacha of being present, but if someone felt very close with someone who wasn't one of his people, like you would tear kriya over.
So like, I think it would only can be appropriate if it's like doing one of the things mentioned in Shulchan Aruch that nowadays we have an excuse not to do, which might cover some of your cases, because we'll see the next page of Shulchan Aruch. But stam, let's say there was like a not so stark yid, right, who said, hey, and you weren't there when he died, but you just really liked him, he was a good friend, then I would say it's valtashkes to tear. A stark yid, a sifvav, that's different. Okay, sifhei. Now, sifhei is referring to any Jew, even if they're not stark. However, they still have to be like a citizen. They still have to be a member of the Jewish people. They don't have to be a tzaddik. They could be a ganav. They could be a rotzeach. You know, but they still have to be considered to be within the Jewish people. That's why the Ramah continues. Even if sometimes he did averos for te'avon or didn't do mitzvahs when it was a tircha, meaning, not that the guy's not from and lahachis and has a total non-from lifestyle. If the guy is an Orthodox Jew who does a lot of averos out of te'avon, then sifhei still applies. Aval says, or a rogulas aver, someone who just has a lifestyle of doing an aver, that's called a mummer. A mummer, amos album love, a mummer, there's no avelos in kriya for whatsoever. And therefore, this halacha would not apply. Okay, what this has to do with modern-day society, we'll come back to later. The kol shegein al mumlo was called, and for sure someone who shmatted and converted to another religion, got baptized in church, chas v'shalom. So, meaning if someone is a mummer, someone is legami not from, they cast off the yoke of the mitzvos, even they cast off the yoke of one mitzvah that all other Jews, Orthodox Jews, keep, then you don't tear kriya or do avelos for them, because then they're not a bad Jew. They are have excluded themselves from the Jewish people. The Yeshomer, Shemummer, Shenereg, Biyad Obe Kochavim, Miss Ablon Love. But some people say if the Mummer was killed by Goyim, then he was killed by anti Semitic Goyim, then you are Miss Ablon on him. Why? After all, he hasn't become holier just because he was killed by goyim. So the shach brings down a machlokes. The levush says because mistameth the goyim killed him. First of all, the levush doesn't really want to pass him like this, but to explain this, the levush says the reason is because mistameth did tshuva. When the goyim killed him, he said, "Oh, I should have just stayed from." The shach says that's not pshat. That's not what all the rishonim say. The shach sukkot yud says the reason is because of kapara. Because if someone is killed, not through Bezdin, Mises Bezdin, because they deserved it. If someone is killed undeservedly, that's such a big punishment to be killed, you know, for an innocent person to be killed, that it gives him kapara for his averos. So therefore, even though this guy shmadded and was baptized in church, if the goyim killed him, then that's mechaper for his averos, because it's already a big punishment to be killed for no reason. And that's how we paskin. We paskin like this, Ramah. We hope it doesn't happen to anyone we know, but we paskin like this, Ramah. Continuing, v'chein mummer katan shehemer avu imo davikonus. Likewise, a mummer katan, even a baby who is shmadded, who converted to Christianity with her father or mother, who is like an anus, since he's anus, we're misabel on him. When we don't, there's a big sugya here. We're not going to go through all the, we're not going to go through the whole sugya, but I'll just point out, it's very fascinating what he's saying here, that we're not misabel on this katan, even though he's an onus, it's not his fault. And let's read one more thing. People who are not from, I mean, they leave the ways of the tzibur. I don't mean like the ways that tzibur, like, having a mangal. I mean, the ways that tzibur, like the Torah. People who are not from, Jews, we don't misabel for them because they were shayim. Misabel on the name, or misabel on their kids, their tinuk shenishba, and it's not their fault, and we're misabel on them. Here, the stira is obvious. We just said, if the father gets baptized with his kids, then we're not misabel on the kids. Yeshom she'im misabel v'chein ikar. And yet we said, if the father's not from and brings up his kids not from, we are misabel on the kids. What's the difference? The parents, whether they're from or whether they got baptized, we're not misabel. Why is there a difference in the kids if they're not from versus if they got baptized? So the answer is, apparently there's a difference between someone who's not from and breaks the whole Torah versus someone who joins another religion. Someone who's not from and breaks the whole Torah is only a Rasha because of the averus they do. Therefore, the parents who do the averus b'mezid are a Rasha. The kids who do the averus b'ones, because that's how they were brought up, are not a Rasha. They are just a sad, unfortunate case of anusim. However, that's a tinuk shenishba for someone who's not from. However, when someone joins another religion, they're not just excluded from the Jewish people because they have averus they do. They're excluded be'etzem because they joined a different nation. And therefore, even if it's not their fault, since be'etzem, an avera is a matter of whether it's your fault or not. But being in a different nation, I understand halachically, you can't actually leave the Jewish people and become a Christian. That doesn't toface halachically. But nonetheless, for a purpose of how we evaluate your status, it does. And from here we see, right, if you ever thought like, oh, well, there's one person who just doesn't keep the whole Torah and they're a reform, humanist, atheist, whatever it may be, Jew. Someone else who converted to Christianity. The second person is much worse than the first. That's our intuition. Is that true? It is true. That's what we see here. The person who's not from is only a Russia because they're Masim. If they're Masim or Ba'onis, then they're still part of the Jewish people. The person who joined another religion is Be'etzim because they're Shaychas to that other religion. They are not part of the Jewish people. And whether it's their fault or not their fault, even if they were brought up that way from when they were 2 days old, we still not Masabal on them and don't consider them part of the Jewish people. And that is Halacha L'maisa. Someone who's brought up not from, we consider to be a part of the Jewish people. Someone who is brought up Christian, because their parents shmadded with them, we consider them to be not part of the Jewish people. I don't mean halachically what they're allowed to do. I mean for purpose of how we mourn for them. Yes, Ellie, and some other things.
Yeah, just wondering, like, philosophically, someone, let's say, converts to Islam and spends, like, a whole life serving Allah, right, and from and so many almost Torah sort of mitzvos, that's going to be considered worse than someone who just throws away all Torah mitzvos and just, like, watches TV all day for his whole life?
That's an amazing question. I'm not going to poskim right now because it's a deep question. My intuition is yes, because it's joining another religion. But I'm not going to promise. By the way, this is the idea behind Rav Lichtenstein's famous article about Brother Daniel. I don't know if anyone ever read it. Brother Daniel was a case where the law of return says anyone who's Jewish or his parent is Jewish or his grandparent is Jewish has the right to make aliyah. the Rabbanut doesn't have to let them get married, but they have the right to make Aliyah and get all the financial and civic benefits, even if they're not from. There was a guy, Brother Daniel, who converted to Christianity and became a monk of some sort, whatever makes you called brother. And he wanted to make Aliyah. And there's a court case that went up to the Supreme Court. Did the law of return apply to him? After all, his parents are Jewish and he was born Jewish. And everyone else doesn't keep Shabbos. They have the right to make Aliyah. Everyone else eats treif. They have the right to make Aliyah. Why is he worse? And Rav Lifson wrote an article about this as an opinion to the court. And I think this is the end of Psak of the court. Lav Dafka, because Rav Lifson thought so. That he says, no, there's a difference. Someone who's not from is part of the Jewish people, just a Russia because of what they do. Someone who is converts to another religion is be'etzem becoming not part of the Jewish people, and therefore they should even lose their secular rights in the law of return. I think that's what happened in the end, but I don't remember. You could Google Brother Daniel. It's always preferable to Google after Shir. Lechatchila. Okay. Anyway, that's an important ha'ara. One other important thing I want to point out here from the Taz in Sifkat and Gimel. The Taz says in Sifkat and Gimel, he brings down a story that the Rishonim bring down from Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom or Agola had a son who converted to Christianity, lo aleinu. A lot of many Gedolim had a son who converted to Christianity. Some of them prefer we not talk about it. Rabbeinu Gershom seems to not have minded because all the Rishonim Ashkenaz pointed out, his son converted to Christianity. And a funny thing, it says, Umeis, his son died, and he shouldn't have been misabel at all because he converted to Christianity. And what happened? He was misabel 14 days. Kavu chomer l'shechina, yod dalid yom. If when he just leaves the physical world, you're misabel 7 days, when he left Hashem and never did tshuva and died, and now too late to do tshuva, you misabel 14 days. Some people have the Masorah 7 days for Olam Hazeh, and 7 days that he lost his Olam Hava. Okay, all the poskim write that, the Taz doesn't write this, that we don't learn from this. That was just his personal Horasha. That's not a halacha. But what's interesting about this is there's two different versions of what happened during Gershom. This version has that he sat Shiva when his son died, because that was too late. He always hoped his son would come back. Once his son died, it's too late to come back, and he sat Shiva. However, in the Orzarua, this is the version in many Rishonim. He's quoting from Nagos Ashri. But in the Orzarua, has a different version. He says, not that Rabbeinu Gershom sat Shiva when his son shmadded and died. As soon as his son shmadded, his son went to church to be baptized, and that very day, Rabbeinu Gershom sat Shiva for him 14 days. Why? Because even though he might still have a chance to do tshuva, right now he left the Jewish people, and it's worse than being dead. Being dead is 7 days, leaving the Jewish people is 14 days. From here, we have a minhag that you probably read about in books that in my grandparents' days, everyone used to do. And nowadays, many people still do. If someone intermarries, his parents sit Shiva for him, right? Or, you know, in Meishar, if you become a Tzioni or something. But if someone intermarries, certainly if someone converts to Christianity, nowadays, who converts to Christianity? No one believes in anything. So what's the point of converting to another religion? Like, I'm going to be a Christian who doesn't believe in Yashka. I might as well stay and be a Jew who doesn't believe in God. But when someone intermarried, their parents and their relatives sat Shiva for them. Where did that come from? It came from the other version of Rabbeinu Gershom in the Orzarua, that he sat Shiva for his son, Bishas Shmad, not when his son died. Because the Shmad itself is worse than death. And intermarriage was considered like Shmad because it's really like leaving the Jewish people. And that's why if someone converts to Christianity or intermarries, the family sits Shiva for him. Nowadays, intermarriage is so common, even the Reform rabbis say it's a mitzvah l'chachila to intermarry, that some people don't sit Shiva when their kid intermarries because nowadays your intermarriage is the same as all the other non-from Jews. It's not worse than all the other non-from Jews. I'm telling you, the Reform rabbis think it's l'chachila to intermarry. It's a mitzvah n'mufkar, lo aleinu. So nowadays, not everyone sits Shiva when their kid intermarries, but the Svara is still a good Svara. So when someone intermarries, they're really leaving the Jewish people. I mean, the problem is nowadays, maybe they're not leaving the Jewish people. They can go to the conservative shul and they're the same as the rabbi. And whatever. And they can even find a different rabbinical school in New York City where the people there write articles about how it's okay to intermarry. It's hard to say it's the same, but Lemaisa, this is where the idea came from, that if a Jew converts to another religion or even intermarries, then his family sits Shiva for him, not from the version quoted in the Taz, from the other version of of what happened with the Rebbeinu Gershom, which is quoted in the Orz Haruah. No one does 14. That, they assume, was just the personal idea of Rebbeinu Gershom. Okay.
Was that 14 straight as soon as he converted, or 7 and 7 when he died?
No, I think both Masoris have 14 straight. None of them have 7 and 7. Although it's a cute idea.
No, I'm saying, why would he think
it's a logical 14? Idea. It's a nice idea, but we don't have that Masora.
Why would he say 14 when he died?
Because when he died, he lost his chance to do tshuva, and now it was final. That would be the Svarah.
Why would he do 14 when he converted, I thought it?
Because he lost his Olam Haba, and right. Olam Haba is twice as bad as Olam Hazeh.
Okay.
Vav. Al Adam Kosher She'enu Chosher Shem Aveira. What if it's not just a Jew who's a member of the Jewish people? What if it's a Shtark Jew, what we call a Tzaddik? Right, who's not chashed any aveira? He doesn't do any aveiras. Not l'tayavo. Not even sometimes. He mamish, you know, like people in Gruss. Or not even like people in Gruss. I mean, none of us should die. But like a bala bas, you know, everyone has their story about their zaydi or whatever who didn't know how to read a word of Gemara, but would never do an aveira. Right. So a from bala bas who would never do an aveira. The lo shem bittul mitzvah would never be mivatel a mitzvah. The shach. The Shach and Sivkat Yud Aleph quotes that, and he also has to be eager to do mitzvos. Like, it's not just enough that he did everything right. He has to, like, want to do extra mitzvos, like, look for opportunities to do chesed and do mitzvos. Okay, we all know Baal Batim like that. They might not be doing chachamim, but they love mitzvos, and they always try to do the right thing. The Losani Shemane, there are no rumors that he did bad things. Afish ain't a god of Torah, even though he doesn't know a lot of Torah. Afish lo amav shashi shama, even if you're not there when he dies. Chai of l'kro love, you have to hear kriya when you hear about it. Usha omit shama misal k'lura, as long as it's before the burial. The Shach deals with, what does omit shama means? Only if you're next to him. But most achronim assume that it means even if you're not next to him, as long as you hear about it before the k'fura. So if you hear that a kosher yid, a tzaddik yid, who always did the right thing, died before the k'fura, you have to hear kriya. But the Talmid Chacham is pater because the Talmid Chacham, because of his high status, doesn't have to show a kavod for an Am Haaretz. So the Talmid Chacham is pater, but everyone else has to. Add the Rama. The Rama says, nope, there's another pshat in the Gemara that the Ran quotes in the Rav Yah. Some people say there's no chi of kriya for a tzaddik any more than a regular Jew. It's just if, hey, only if you're there when he dies, which nowadays you don't practice. The Gemara technically, if you look in the Shach Levitarya, just says it's appropriate, answering Effie before. The Gemara clearly implies it's good to tear on him. The Gemara technically says you have to cry and mourn. The minig is lohakel like this Ran, that it's clear from the Gemara in Katan, it's a kiyum to tear, it's not baltashkis to tear kriya, but the chiyum is only to cry and mourn. We should all take this to heart. If you hear that a kosher yid passed away, you should cry and mourn for him. I don't mean in an insincere way. You should really try to feel the sadness. A kosher yid died, not just any yid, but a tzaddik yid died. You should really try to feel the pain. But even if you're a Talmid Chacham, the Shach quotes from the Ravid and the Rush. This is a big machlokas the later Achronim deal with. You should still do it. So you should at least try to cry and mourn. So if you hear the kosher yid died, you should try to be sad about it. Tearing is optional. It's not baltashchis, but most people don't do it nowadays. It might still be weird, even if it's not baltashchis. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes all the Achronim, should a Talmid Chacham tear or not? Lemaisa, I think we could all agree a Talmid Chacham should cry and be sad if a kosher yid passes away. One halacha lemaisa that comes out of this is discussed in the Gilyan Marsha quotes a Magen Avraham from Hilchas Brachos. Says the Gilyan Marsha here, if you have to cry and mourn, that means it's Besoros Ros. So you say, Baruch the Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Dayan Emes L'Shem Malchus. If you hear that a not-so-good Jew died, you don't say B'Shem Malchus. But if you hear that a kosher you died, who always does the right thing, who's a tzaddik, you should cry and mourn and say, Baruch Dayan Emes B'Shem Malchus. That's a Magen Avraham. The Gilyan Marsha continues and says, says maybe stay without Shema Malchus, even if someone's relative died. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? The Mishnah Berurah deals with this, and he says a very funny conclusion. If you want to look up the Mishnah Berurah, it's in Siman Reish Chaf Gimel Sif Katan Ches. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the halacha is that you should say Baruch Dynamis B'Shemu Malchus. The minhag is to say it without Shemu Malchus, and he's not sure why. Okay. Every place I've been, I must say, even though it sounds to the Mishnah Berurah like you should say it B'Shemu Malchus, and he thinks the minhag is just wrong, every place I've been, even among my Rebbeim, Talmid HaChachamim, when they hear a Kasher Yadai, they say it without Shemu Malchus. So apparently our minhag, even though the Mishnah Berurah doesn't approve, our minhag is to say it without Shemu Malchus. Right, when you hear someone die, you say Baruch Dayan HaEmes, even if they're a tzaddik who always does mitzvos and doesn't do aveiros. Okay, our minhag is to say it without Shemu Malchus. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't like it, but that's been the minhag at least since the time of the Mishnah Berurah and probably before then as well. Zion. How about if someone's greater than just a Kasher Yid? What's greater than a Kasher Yid? It's a good chizik for all of us. A Talmud Chacham who learns Torah. Al Tat Chacham, the Al Talmud Chacham, Shesholim Oso. Chacham means a Rosh Yeshiva. Talmud Chacham means a guy who's learning in Kolel. But even a Talmud Chacham, Shesholim Oso Dvar Lach B'chol Makam V'Omra, who you can ask him halacha any place in Shas and he'll answer it, meaning someone who knows Shas and Poskim. Korin Alav, Afilu Achak Fura, that's more Chamer. If you hear that he died, you have to do your kriya, even if you hear after he was buried. B'yom shmu matok shlosh yom, as long as you hear within 30 days, korea lo b'shas hespedo, and when do you tear when there's a hesped, meaning, if you heard a Talmud Chacham died, and they're not planning to give a hesped in your town, you tear right away when you hear. If they're planning to give a hesped, then you wait and you tear at the time of the hesped. Low carb yom shmuel for others might have paid low carb shomei the korea, but even within 30 days, if you missed the yom shmuel, if you didn't tear the day you heard and you didn't tear at the hesped, there's no more chimon, so you don't tear. It has to be within 30 days, and either at the time at the day you first hear or during the hesped. The kornel of achmegalus libam, you tear like on apparent achmegalus libo, although we'll see later on the shach points out here that there's a yeshomer later on that it's only a tefach, and the chor we pass can only a tefach. Oh, the farnogas lemecham chol makom lekrozel zet tefach afishim shavim ben echemim lamed es chavero. And the apparently this is only if the person's bigger talmud chacham than you, because if the person is equal talmud chacham than to you, the minhag of talmud chacham is to tear tefach. So if the person is a bigger talmud chacham than you, then you tear achigalus libo, and the shach says we hold a tefach. If the person's equal to you, then everyone agrees that you're a tefach. The obvious implication is if he's a smaller Talmud Chacham than you, then you're a putter. But that's all theoretical. And the Ramah, V'yesh omer she'en korin al chacham, elon kenu rabo she'yodim shmuel. So some people say you don't tear for a Talmud Chacham unless he's your Rebbe or you learned his chidushim. You know, like there are people who are not my Rebbe, I never met in his life, but I learned the Torah because they have svarim, etc. So unless I learned from directly or indirectly, I'm putter. The Hainu Rabo, because that makes him my Rebbe. Cheno Gulahakal Minus Elo, the Minik Ashkenaz, at least I don't know what Sfardim do. Even though the Bach says, the Shach quotes the Bach, who says, nope, we should not be Makel. But the Shach and all the Achronim are Makel like the Ramah. And we say that if you didn't learn from him directly or indirectly, you're a potter. Maybe the Gemara is only talking about someone you learned from. Okay, it all depends how you learn the Gemara. We don't have time to get into it. Look at all the Achronim. However, the Shach in Yud Zayin asked another Kasha. Ask the Shach to cut in Yud Zayin after he's over the Bach. Nowadays, we don't tear kriya even on someone you did learn from, even on someone bigger than you. Nowadays, we don't tear kriya. I don't know, there's a lot of people I learned from. I don't know which Rav passed away recently. There's always Rabbanim who passed away. I don't know, the Shevet Alevi passed away. I remember he had a Levaya. I learned a lot of things from the Shutzei, from the Shevet Alevi, right? There's someone who I once learned Chidushei Torah from. So how come none of us tear kriya nowadays? How come nowadays basically we don't keep Sif Zion? Teinech, the Ramah says, we only keep Sif Zion if we learn Torah from him. Nowadays, even if we learn Torah from him, we don't keep Sif Zion. Why don't we? So answers the Shach v'ulay svirleid lo nikkot tamil chacham sheyodeat v'arloch v'chol makom afilu maseches kala. And atab avoneinu ein tamil chacham de inyodea afilu maseches kala. Maybe the answer is because you have to look at the beginning of Sif Zayin. This only applies if the person's an onomadrega that he knows kolotar kula. You ask him halacha everywhere, even maseches kala. And nowadays, even Rosh Yeshivas don't know maseches kala. Now, I don't know if that's true for everyone. I bet Rechaim Kanievsky knows maseches kala. But nowadays, people don't know maseches kala. So that's, it's funny. Like, you go through each sif, we have an excuse why we don't do it. If the excuse is not found in the Shulchan Aruch, then it's found in the later Achronim. It's a good question. I can't explain why. Like, I can't explain historically why we just keep coming up with excuses. And sometimes first we have the minhag and then they come up with excuses. But Lamaisa, we don't keep Siv Zayin nowadays either. Why? Maybe because none of our Talmidei Chachamim are real Talmidei Chachamim because they don't know everything, even Maseches Kala. Most Rosh Yeshivas don't know Maseches Kala, really don't know Maseches Kala very well at all. Okay. What about Gedolei Hador? You know, I bet Rabbi Yashiv knew Maseches Kala. Rav Vad Yosef knew Maseches Kala. You know, Rav Vad Yosef knew every word that was ever printed in any Torah book. And Rebbe Yashiv knew every word that was ever printed in any mainstream, you know, commonly found Torah book. Although I don't think he was matriach himself to read every sefer that no one heard of. Okay, I don't know. Maybe in that case, someone will learn from them Shutir Kriya. But Lamaisa, the minig is not to do it so much because the excuse, which is given by the Shach. Okay, let's go on to Ches. Al Rabbo, how about your personal Rebbe? Not someone you learned from once. Sharov Chachmasa Mimenu. How about what's called Rabbi Movad? You learn most of your Chachma from him. In Mikra, Mikra, if you learn most of Tanakh, that's one Rebbe. In Mishnah, Mishnah, if you learn most of Mishnah. In Gemara, Gemara. Or you learn most of your Gemara from that Rebbe. Nowadays, you don't really have a Rebbe that we learn most of our Mikra and most of our Mishnah from because, you know, we learn Mikra when we're in school. Every year we have another teacher. And we learn Mishnah when we're little kids, then we finish it on our own. But Gemara, some people have a Rav HaMavak. They learn most of what they know from their Rebbe. The Rav said that Rav HaMavak doesn't mean Dapim of Shas. If you learned 1,711 Dapim of Shas from one Rebbe and only 1,000 Dapim of Shas from another Rebbe, it's not who taught you the most Dapim of Shas. It's who taught you your Derech HaLimud in life. Whoever taught you your Derech HaLimud in life, the Rav says that's called Rov Chachmaso Mimenu. Rov Chachmaso means the Echos, not the Kamos. And therefore, let's say someone, they learn more Dapim of Shas from their high school Rebbe and their Shana Aleph Rebbe than from Lichtenstein, but they learned their Derech and Torah from Lichtenstein, then that would be a Rav Mufak. That's the Chiddush of the Rav. Shai.
Does that mean definitionally you can't have more than one person that you would tear Kriya for? Or could it be I've learned... Meaning, because that's what Rov means. But let's say there's...
Right, I guess you could have a Mikra, a Mishnah, and a Gemara. The question is, could you have, like nowadays, a Shulchan Aruch and a Gemara, something like that? It's a fascinating question. And the answer is, I'm not sure. But my guess is that yes. Let's say, I mean, I don't want to start naming my rebbeim because I don't want to start making scenarios where they die. Right, but let's say someone they have one Rebbe you taught them their Derech in Shulchan Aruch and another Rebbe you taught them their Derech in Gemara. Then I think that would count,
even what though about I can't Derech in life. Could that be more than one?
Like, they have it's an interesting question. They have, like, I don't know, they're what about a Derech in life that's not necessarily text based? Would that count? Might depend how Neo Hasidish you are. Or maybe not. Then it's just texts of Hasidus. But I'm not sure. It's an interesting question. What if he taught you the meaning of life, but he didn't teach you a lot of things that are in books? I'm not sure. It's a good question. But Lemaisa, in all these cases, it's not Baltashkes to tear because they're still Adam Kosher and they're still Chacham and they're still Rabbi Sheinomovic, etc. So, you know, you can't go wrong. Okay, but let's continue. Korea called Begadav Ad Shemegabel Libo. For your Rabba Muvak, you have to tear all the clothing until you're Megabel's Libo, meaning if you have three layers, all three layers, all the way down to Megabel's Libo, just like a parent. The Yeshomer, Shein Korea Lo Tefach. The Yeshomer, this one we mentioned before, is that you only tear a Tefach. Ve'enam achal olam, and you never sew it up properly. You never fix it properly. Of the olam, and even forever, even if you heard after 30 days, you still tear for a rabbi mavak. What if you have a rebbe, not just someone you read the books, but a rebbe, but not rov chachmas. So it's a rabbi she'enu mavak. You only tear like other relatives, not like parents. Meaning, there's no opinion that says you have to tear all the begadim ad shegalus libo, and you can reweave it someday. Even if you only learned a little from him, whether he's greater or bigger than you, you have to tear on him. Some people say that basically the question is, in what way is Rabbo Mavak more chomer than Rabbo She'enu Mavak? So one opinion is that Rabbo Mavak, you have to tear on Shigalos Libo, Rabbo She'enu Mavak, only a Tefach. The second opinion is that Rabbo Mavak, you can never fix the garment. Rabbo She'enu Mavak, you can fix the garment. The Ramah here says that either way you can't fix the garment. If either way you can't, give me a second. If either way you can't fix the garment, then if you go back and you look at, if either way you can't fix the garment, then that would then that would lean more. You could also say the chiddush is that Rabbi Mavak, even if he's smaller than you, but if we just says that being cut, whether he's bigger or smaller than you, you tear. Either way, you're not ma'achal le'olam. So what's the chumer of Rabbi Mavak? L'chora is that you have to tear at shigalos libo, not like the Yesh Omrim. In which case, going back to Zion, also we would say it's ad shigalos libo theoretically if we practice it. Okay, so lechora, from what I've seen, people tear on the Rabbo Mavak, they tear ad shigalos libo, which makes sense. There has to be some difference if you look in the Gemara between Rabbo Mavak and Yom Mavak. The difference is not whether you can fix it. Either way, you don't fix it. The difference is not what if you're a bigger Talmud Chacham than him. Either way, you're chayav. So lechora, the difference is whether you have to do only a tefach or ad shigalos es libo. And the Rabbo Mavak, not everyone really has a Rabbo Mavak, I have to admit. Who says someone learned Rov Chachmas from someone? Some people don't have a Rabbo Mavak. But what I've seen is that when people have a Rabbo Mavak, and certainly if he's a Chacham and knows Kolta Arkula, people do tear. At the funerals of Gedolim, people do tear. People tear at the funerals of Gedolim, even if they're not the Rabbo Mavak, and especially if they are the Rabbo Mavak. At Rav Vadya's funeral, lots of people tore Kriya. At Rav Lichtenstein's funeral, all the Gush guys tore Kriya. So the Rabbo Mavak, people still do. How about the Rabbo She'enu Mavak? Let's read a little more. Talmicham Shiyosh Miyachad Makshin Farkim Zelo Zevalom Miyachad Yesh Omer Shidina Karav She'enu Mavak Yesh Omer Shidina Karav Mavak. Talmicham were like Chavrusas, right? They learn together and ask kashas and sharpen each other. Some people say it's like Rav She'enu Mavak. Some people say it's like a Rav Mavak because a Chavrusa is as good as a Rav Mavak. Yesh Omerim, but it doesn't matter. How do we pass into Ein Tzrich Lekora El Rabbo Shalom the Rov Chachmaso? We paskin, the chiyuv is only for Rabbo Mavak. We, our minig is that there's no chiyuv at all for Rabbo She'enu Mavak. Aval chavirim alom zel zel sheheir einav davar echad. But chavirim, we learn together or someone taught you one thing. Einu alo chumra b'yama is only a chumra. Ve'echad nog nog ve'echad lo nog lo nog ve'ein morim kein. Where the minig is, they do it. Where the minig is not, we don't tell them to do it. Nowadays, our minig is not to. V'lachein nog l'hakal b'yos elu. Halach l'maisa, nowadays, we're making almost everything. Sif hey, when you're with a yid, who's still a member of the Jewish people, who is at the time he passes away, you're supposed to do Kriya. The 20th century Echronim say we don't do it. Sif Vav, a Yid who's a tzaddik, if you hear before the Kfur, you're supposed to do Kriya. And the Ramah says we don't do it. Sif Zion, a Chacham who's not your Rebbe, you're supposed to do Kriya. And the Ramah says, nope, only if you learn from him. And the Shach says, and only if he knows Kaltar Kuli even Sechas Kala, so not so common. Sif Ches, Rabbo She'enu Mavak, you're supposed to steer Kriya. The Ramah says that's not our minhag. The only thing left is Rabbo Mavak. On Rabbo Mavak, we still tear Kriya. Not everyone's open to have a Rabbo Mavak. Some people just, you know, learned a little from this Rebbe, a little from that Rebbe, and taught themselves. But if you have a Rabbo Mavak, then you should wish that he'd live till Me'eva Esrim. But when his Me'eva Esrim comes, you should tear Kriya on him. I tore Kriya at Rav Lichtenstein's Levaya, because he was my Rabbo Mavak. I don't know if he's my only Rabbo Mavak, but, you know, in terms of what we said earlier, he was certainly our Rabbo Mavak. And, you know, he was also the Rebbe of all my other Rebbeim. Okay. So much for Sif Ches. One other thing that the Taz points out here that's found in the Shulchan Aruch in Yordea Helchas Talmud Torah, is that when the Rav Omuvit passed away, not only do you have to your kriya, you have to sit a short time for avelos, not a full day. Mitzvah Yom Kikula, you have to sit a few minutes avelos. So a person even has to be misabel for a few minutes when their Rav Omuvit passes away. Okay. So if Tess, we're going to go back to, I'll take a question. We're going to go back to things that we do practice nowadays all the time when people's relatives pass away. Lo aleinu. Question?
Yeah, when sitting for a Rav Omuvit, whether it's a small part of the day that's like on the floor, like you did in like a regular avel?
Yeah, like sit on the floor for 1 minute, take off your shoes.
That's practice today?
I think so. I don't really know how to see because, but it's in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Talmud Torah, so I think it should be. Yoni.
That practice to sit for a few minutes is right after you tear kriya, or it could be at any point?
Lechora, it could be at any point. Lechora, it could be at any point. But it should be on that. That's an interesting question. Says the, let's look at the Lashon of the Mechaber. I'm just punching up the Mechaber. I'm not sharing my screen with you. You'll take my word for it. Sheyamas Rabo, etc. Umisabel Lov Bachalitz Vachaldini Avelos Mixas Yom HaMisa O Mixas Yom HaShmua. So, okay, it has to be on the day they passed away or the day someone hears about it. Okay. And it seems that it should be lechatchila right away when someone hears about it. That seems to be the pashut shot. Okay. And that's the stories that you have in the Gemara. Is as soon as they heard, they were misabel for a few minutes. Okay, test. I'll call a mason korel of tefach. They get ilyon v'dayo. And all mason, there's two kulas. The length and the number of layers. It's only a tefach long. And it's only the top layer of clothing. Vidayo, and that's enough. Guy has a sweater and a shirt, and his brother dies, he tears a tefach on the sweater and leaves the shirt alone. Al Avivimo Korea called the god of Afilu Lovish Asura Achim Galu. On Avivimo, someone has to mute themselves. On Avivimo, on Avivimo, the person has to tear longer all the way down to reveal their heart. And also more layers, because revealing their heart means all the way down to their heart and also all the layers so that they reveal their heart. So if they're wearing 10 layers, they have to tear all 10 layers. And if for their parents they didn't tear all their layers, they weren't yotze. Begorbo, we yell at him. As long as he's still wearing that clothing, we tell him you're still chayv to be korea. Even more than 30 days later, we still yell at him and try to force him and pressure him to do the mitzvah. Properly. Okay, that is if Tess, the Shach here and the Taz a little later points out, the Shach's not sure if this is a din or not, but Lechor, it's a minhag. There's another difference, Alpi minhag. For other krovim, you tear on the right, this is not ma'akev, it's just a minhag l'chachilo. Other krovim tear on the right, for parents on the left. Meaning, if I'm the rabbi at a funeral, and there's the guy's son, the nifter's son, and the nifter's brother. For the brother, I help him tear on the right of his clothing. For the son, I help him tear on the left of his clothing. If you messed it up, it's okay. That's only a minag bi'alma. Why? Because l'chora, for everyone else on the right, because you should always do mitzvahs on the right. For the parents on the left, because since the point is revealing the heart is on the left. And therefore, you should do it on the left. It's not ma'akev. Really, as long as you go as far down as the heart, it doesn't have to be mamish on the side of the heart. However, that is the minhag l'chachila, and that's what everyone does nowadays. There's a big machlokes achronim here. What if, for other relatives, you tear the bottom layer instead of the top layer? Let's say the guy's wearing a shirt and a sweater, and he tears the shirt instead of the sweater. So the Pisrei Tshuva quotes that from the Ginas Radim Perchmat Aaron, but Evan, you're Yotze if you tear the bottom layer for Shar Krovim. For parents, you're not Yotze until you tear all the layers. What about for Krovim? You tear the bottom layer, you're Yotze B'dievid, but it's not so, not, one second. The not everyone agrees, because Rabbi Akiva quotes, Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes, the Shotor's Chesed said you're not Yotze. So the mainstream opinion is that you're Yotze, but not everyone agrees. The Pesachei Tshuva only quotes the opinion that B'dievid, you're Yotze. The Ginas Rod and the Perech Matei Aaron, which Kiva Eger quotes both opinions. Perech Matei Aaron says that you're Yotze, but he also quotes the Torah Chesed, who says that you are not Yotze. Lemaisa, the mainstream opinion is that you are Yotze, and therefore a lot of the Achronim write that if there is a woman in a case where it would be pretzas for her to tear the top garment, but then she can tear the lower garment. Lamaisa nowadays, I don't know how common that is. Well, a woman has a shirt and a sweater and she tears the sweater. It's not pretzas. But they say since Bidi Eved, the mainstream opinion is that you're Yotze and Shar Krovim on the bottom layer. Therefore, in a Shasad Chak, one could tear the lower layer for other Krovim, but we generally try to avoid it. And we generally try to do it, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, for other Krovim, Dafka, the top layer. For parents, Dafka, all the layers. The big machlokas, which is discussed in the Gilyam Arsha here, is let's say someone's brother dies and they're wearing two layers, but the top layer is expensive. Can they take off? They're wearing a sweater that costs $50 and a shirt that costs $10. They take off their sweater to tear the shirt. Obviously, they don't have to wear the sweater. If they're wearing the sweater, can you take off the expensive thing and then now the shirt's on top and then tear it? So the Gilyan Marsha quotes the Knesset Agdola that you are allowed to. This is a big machlokas achronim, but many, many achronim agree with this Gilyan Marsha. The Gilyan Marsha says, "V'rashay lifshut obeged shalavish bohem chasalav lulbosh acher l'kriya afmeis aviv." Here he goes even further. You can even change your clothes legamri. Let's say the guy's wearing expensive clothes and his father died. Let him take off all his layers and put on other clothing. So can you change your clothes to save money? So that is a big machlokas. Either take off your top layer for other krovim or change your clothes parents. Halacha lemaisa, most achronim are mekel, that you'd be allowed to change your clothes to save money. Nowadays, we tear at the funeral, so just whatever the guy wants to tear, he wears to the funeral. Whatever he doesn't want to tear, he doesn't wear to the funeral. It doesn't really come up. But let's say it was a case where he wasn't tearing at the funeral. I know he heard his father died after the funeral. He just has to tear as soon as he hears. And he's wearing something really expensive. Then, even though it's a machlokas, and it's clearly not like the most respectful, best thing to do to change into cheap clothing to tear, halacha lemaisa, if it's really a hefsed, a person can rely on this Gilyan Marsha and be mekel and change it to cheap clothing before he tears kriya. Even though obviously, you know, it's not l'chachila, both because it's machlokas achronim and because it seems a little disrespectful. Effie.
Is tzitzis a beged that you tear through?
We'll get to that in a moment. So let us continue. Let's go to Yud. Afrak suso in a tzarch l'kro. You don't have to tear your afrak sus. What is an afrak sus? It's for sure you don't have to tear it. Everyone agrees to that. Just no one knows what it means. What's an afrak sus? Some people say it's an undershirt, right, that absorbs the zeya. It's basically machlokas rishonim, whether it's an undershirt or an overgarment, right? So the Aruch says it's an undershirt. The Yesh Mepharshim Shalayin Beged Elyon, Rashi says it's some sort of overgarment. We're not sure exactly what he means, but the Bali Tosos, the Rishonim, say it's an overgarment, Shakur and Kafa, some sort of fancy overcoat. Upashad HaMinag, what's the Minag? Shalol L'kra HaKafa, that we don't tear the fancy overcoat. I'll show Mesa Vil Abimo, even for parents, because it just not doesn't count as a beged. A fancy overcoat doesn't count as a beged because it's not normal clothing. But you do tear on parents the undershirt. Meaning, we pass like the second opinion that fraksus does not mean undershirt, but does mean the fancy overcoat. That's Sfardi, but Ashkenazim same dinas Eloi, knowing in Kenil Korinacholuk, In Kornachol Shel Pishon Shebegin Azayav Lo Asar Bel HaElyon Avol Sharv Gadav Korei Vav Beimov Shar Meisav Vav Shelyon Tachs Asar Bel Ashkenazim are Mekel both ways. We don't know what an afraksuso is. It only means one thing, but both svaras are good. Whatever afraksuso means, both svaras are true, whether that's what the Gemara meant or not. It's a true svara. Just one of them is what afraksuso meant, and the other one is just true and goes without saying. No one tears an undershirt, because that's only beged zeh, it's not a chashav beged, and no one tears a fancy overcoat, because that's also not a beged. That would also for sure apply to a winter coat, like a coat you only wear for the weather. The sarbel was a very fancy coat you wore, but the coat you wear for the weather is pater from kriya. So everyone agrees a coat you wear for cold weather is pater from kriya. A undershirt is pater from kriya. What's controversial? One controversy, Effie asks, what about tzitzis, what we call a talus katan? What about a talus katan? None of the classic Nosei Kalim discuss a talus katan. However, the Netziv and Shut Meshiv Davar discussed this and patterned a talus katan. The Maharsham in his Das Torah was Machayev a talus katan, so it's a machlok zachron about talus katan. The Maharsham says you're chayev, it's a beged. After all, if it wasn't a beged, it wouldn't be a mitzvah to put tzitzis on it. And the Netziv says, no, it's a beged you only wear for the mitzvah. It's not a beged you wear for regular clothing. Therefore, it's pater from kriya. Kriya is only on begadim you wear for social purposes, not on begadim you wear for ritual purposes. Halacha lemaisa, I think there are different opinions. Ad hayom hazeh, but the Gesher HaChaim says the Minhag Olam, and I believe this, the Minhag Olam, wherever I've been, is not to tear the talus katan, to follow the Netziv in his tshuvas meshiv davar against the, to follow the Netziv against the Maharsham. The Minhag Olam is not to tear the tzitzis. So that's the accepted minhag olam. What's the big machlok between the Shach and the Taz here, without going through all the rayas back and forth, is whether you have to tear the rock. What's a rock? Anyone here? Someone who didn't go to Gush or Hakotel. What's a rekel? Right? In Yiddish, they often add the diminutive even when something's not smaller. Anyone know what a rekel is? No one knows what a rekel is? A rekel is not a bekesha. A bekesha is the fancy jacket you wear on Shabbos. A rekel is the pasha jacket you wear on a weekday. You know, a real rekel is a long jacket. Not that halacha makes a difference if you're lifish or chassidish. Right, you know, you walk around a chassid with a pants and a shirt and a long jacket. That's a rekel, a rock. So when we patter the kafa, was that a rock or was that something else? Meaning a rock is what we call a suit jacket in the Litvish / Western world. What about a suit jacket? Is a suit jacket the sarbol / kafa that they pottered? Or no, a suit jacket is part of your clothing. They pottered something you wear over the suit jacket. That is a famous machlokes. The Shach says, and he repeats it at great length both in the Shach and the Kudus HaKesef, of course you have to tear a suit jacket. They pottered the sarbol you wear over the suit jacket. But a suit jacket is part of regular clothing. And the Taz says, no, that's exactly what they meant to potter. They meant to potter the suit jacket. It says a suit jacket you don't wear in your house. You only wear for special occasions. That's not normal clothing. That's just for special occasions. And the Shach says, what do you mean? A suit jacket is part of looking nice. It's not only special occasions. Okay, this is the famous machlokas. The Taz says a suit jacket is potter. And that's what this Sif meant to potter. That's afraksuso. The Taz says it's potter. The Shach says it's chayev. So what do we do with the suit jacket if the Taz says potter and the Shach says chayev? What do we do with the suit jacket? The Taz says potter and the Shach says chayev. So halacha lemaisa, what should we do about that? The halacha lemaisa is we try to be machmir. But how are we machmir? So if someone's in a funeral of their parents, they have to tear all their clothing. They tear the suit jacket and the shirt. And then, okay, they're yotze everyone. According to the Taz, they only have to tear their shirt. They're yotze. According to the Shach, they have to tear the shirt and the suit jacket. They're yotze. So the halacha lemaisa is if someone's parent died, they have to tear their suit jacket. You go to a shiva house, people are sitting shiva for their parents, you always see their suit jackets are torn, meaning if they're the type of people who sit in suit jackets. However, what if it's shar krovim? Now it's a little tricky, because you only tear one thing. And if they tear the suit jacket, then according to the Taz, they weren't Yotze at all because they tore a non-beged, because it doesn't count as a beged. So if they tear the suit jacket, then according to the Taz, they weren't Yotze at all. It was a non-beged. But if they tear the shirt, then according to the Shach, they weren't Yotze beged elyon. So what do you do? So halacha lemaisa, we want to make sure we're Yotze. So for parents, you tear the suit jacket with everything else. For shar krovim, you tear the shirt and not the suit jacket, because the suit jacket just doesn't count according to the Taz, and then you wouldn't be Yotze at all. The best thing to do is for the guy to take off his suit jacket and tear his shirt, then put his suit jacket back on. Then he's Yotze lekuli alma, because at the time it was his beged elyon, because we know you're allowed to change. So really, the best thing to do for shar krovim is to take off your suit jacket and tear your shirt. But lemaisa, we don't tear suit jackets for shar krovim, because you only are allowed to tear one thing and you might not be Yotze at all. We do tear suit jackets for parents because you have to tear all the layers, so you might as well be machmer. That is the halacha lemaisa of suit jackets. Isaac.
If when talking about dinei kriya, we're also concerned about bal tashchit, wouldn't being machmer be a chumra hamevi l'dekula? And you'd be...
Maybe... No, because since that's the opinion of the shach, that doesn't count as bal tashchit. Binyamin.
Wouldn't it be better for shar krovim to tear both? Because it's also my focus if you can take off your, if you can change. So
yes,
wouldn't it, why wouldn't we just tear both?
Apparently tearing multiple garments for shar krovim, which is no shita, is bal tashchis.
But it's not, meaning it's a shach nataz.
No, but no one says you have to tear both, so we don't want to do that.
Okay.
Apparently. That's the minhag olam, and that's what I've seen in modern day svarim as well. Yoni.
When exactly should the Rav tell the person to take off the jacket in the shar krovim case? Should it be like before, like should he not come to the funeral with it? Should he recommend?
No, I think it's enough to just take it off right before he tears. Because keep in mind, the beged tachton, according to the vast majority of achronim, you're yotzei b'dieved anyway, so, you know, it's not the end of the world. Okay. Anything else that I could...
Yeah. You mentioned about machlokas before about taking off something nice. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's the hashkafa about like preparing for these kinds of situations? Like you mentioned before, some gedolim wear specific shirts to tear kriya at the kotel. I saw people do that also, where they wear like an undershirt on top of their nice Shabbos shirt when they
Fine. So I think if you prepare in advance, for sure that's not a problem. For sure that's good in terms of bal tashchis. Like if someone knows their father's going to die, they should for sure lechachila wear cheaper clothes. I don't mean wear like a heavy metal t-shirt, but right. Like wear their old suit that's not in such good shape anymore.
Wearing an undershirt on top of a normal button-down shirt when you go to the kotel, is that appropriate?
Well, an undershirt wouldn't count as a beged zeah. But let's say you meant a t-shirt that people wear if they're not rabbis when they walk out in the street. Yeah. So what about putting a t-shirt over your regular shirt when you go to the kotel? Assuming like the minhag ha'olam that you only tear the beged elyon for the kotel. So is that appropriate or not? Lemaisa, I think that's appropriate in terms of the balance. Especially since most people don't tear at all for the kotel for no good reason nowadays. So if you tear something, that's good enough. What I personally do is, I'm very hard on my clothing, and I always wear out my clothing. So whenever a clothing gets ripped or a shirt gets ripped or worn, I just put it on the side, and I wear it when I go to the kotel and have to tear kriya. And that way, it's like ripped in some place not everyone notices, but it looks like I'm tearing a nice shirt. But I think that's I think lemaisa that is appropriate. For someone's father, should they put on a t-shirt? No. Okay, you have to use your judgment, and that's my judgment. Yod Aleph. Echad Eish ve'echad Eisha shavim l'inyan kriya. Both men and women are equally chayiv on kriya. Ela she'isha karas ha'tachton machzira la'achreha v'chozeres v'karas ha'elyon. Except that a woman, what if it's her parents? She has to tear all her layers. Basically, what should a woman do when her other relative passes away, if her brother passes away? Because after all, it's pritzos to see a woman's skin. The shach even points out, even if she has an undershirt, it's pritzos to see your undershirt. Meaning the kind of undershirt that your putter from tearing, it's pritzos to also see. Because if it was a real t-shirt, it would be a beged. So what should a woman do if it's her brother? No problem. You should tell every woman who has a funeral for her brother or other relative to wear two layers. And then she'll tear the sweater and leave her shirt and it won't be preetzus. Okay, in the old days, some people thought it was preetzus, but nowadays I don't think it's preetzus if her sweater is torn and she has a normal shirt underneath. But what if her parent passed away? She has to tear all the layers. She tear all the layers, you're going to see her chest, and that's preetzus. That's not appropriate. So this is a big machlokes without chazering the whole sugya. Maybe it's not preetzus because at a funeral, no one thinks about these things because they're all too sad. We're more a little more realistic. We say, yeah, the other Avelim are going to be very sad, but everyone else, they might take advantage to look at the preetzus. And therefore, what should she do? She should wear two layers and tear the bottom layer, turn the bottom layer backwards, and then tear the top layer, and now you won't be able to see your skin. Okay, the post can point out that not all of our clothing nowadays works this way, because not all of our clothing can you just turn around so easily. You have to be very skilled. Certainly if it's an old lady, and even a young lady is not going to know how to like turn her shirt back or backwards while wearing her sweater, because our clothing has sleeves. So then that becomes a little tricky. So the poskim nowadays give two eitzes. The Aruch HaShulchan says tznius is so important that if you have no other choice, she can only tear one layer even for her parents. But we try not to get into that. What do? We try to make a smaller compromise. This is called sholelis. We'll learn what this is soon. What we try to do is she tears one layer and then safety pins it and then tears the other layer. And then you can't see your skin because it's safety pinned. And even though you're not allowed a safety pin right away, but for tznius, if we don't have another good option, we compromise. And what if she has only one layer? Then she goes someplace where no one sees her with another woman, tears it, and safety pins it. So lemaisa, this is the minhag is brought down in the Bnei Shulchan. That the minhag nowadays is that if the woman is a young woman who knows how to do the switcheroo and turn her shirt backwards while keeping her sweater on, then she should tear her shirt, turn it backwards, and tear her sweater. Usually that's not so practical. So she should tear her shirt, safety pin it, and then tear her sweater. And if the rabbi was a poshea and forgot to tell her to wear two layers, she only has one layer, she should go someplace very private, tear it, and then safety pin it. And that way it won't be preetzus. Yoni.
Do the layers have to be cut one after another, like successfully right away, or could she go to the bathroom, like turn it around, then cut the top layer?
Lemaisa, I think she could. That's true. She could go to the bathroom, turn it around, and cut the top layer. That's also an option. Fair. I mean, it might not always be practical, but she could. Effie.
Rabbi Chazer, what a woman should do for a shakrovim?
Just wear two layers and only tear the top layer. Right? Then it's no big deal. Again, some achronim thought that was preetzus, but nowadays I don't think that's preetzus. Well, everyone else is wearing one layer and she's wearing one layer. Who cares that she has another layer that's ripped, right? Again, we're not talking about undershirts. We're talking about two real layers of real shirts, shirt and sweater, right? So basically, women should always wear a shirt and a sweater. For a man, it's okay to have a little preetzus. Like, Avelis is supposed to, like, make him lower and not the regular standards. Binyamin.
If a woman is wearing something that isn't easily worn backwards, so can she first turn it around and rip the back, which is now in front, and then turn it back? Anything wrong with that?
I hear your Taina. I think she can.
Right.
I think she can. I can't.
You're going to end up in the same place, so she may as well be comfortable.
Yeah, I think she can. Welcome, Mary Miller. We're just going to finish the shiur in 2 minutes. Yud Beis. I'll call Hamesim. This is called Lahavdil Kame Safa. To tear the what do you call the edge of your clothing? The hem?
Lapel?
The edge of your clothing is the hem. You know how in the edge of the clothing it's always like sewed down to be very strong? You know, like the Me'il in the Parsha, right? In the middle of my clothing, it's just one layer. At the edge, it's always like a little harder to tear. Anyway, I'll call Mason Rotsam in Yasfasa Begit Shlame Abakoriam Yasfasa Safala Matavial of the Emil Tarkly Krakala Safa. The Ashamar Afal Shar Mason Tarkly Kras Safa, Vikino again, this is a Machlok Tanaim. Okay, it's just a matter of how we paskin. The Machaber says that for other relatives, you can leave the collar and just start tearing below the collar and tear it to tefach.
How do you hear?
It's actually a lot easier because the collar is hard to tear. But off of the emo, you have to start from the top and tear down. You can't start from the middle. Other coven, you could start from an inch down and then tear. For Avimo, you have to start from the top. But we are Ashkenazim, we follow the Ramah. For all Krovim, you have to start from the top. And we have one more minute. Your Gimel, I'll call Mason Yeshlo Krov Bifnim, Shlo Bifte Adam, Lefikach Yeshlo Hachdash Yadu Bifnim, Bikore Bitsina. Well, Avimo, Enokorel, Bechot, Bifne, Kal Adam. The Gemara says for other Krovim, you tear inside. For parents outside, it's a machlokas, whether it's referring to inside a room, outside a room, or under your coat. Let's say you have a winter coat and not under your coat. And we pass like the Rambam means both. For other relatives, you could tear in Sina, either in a hidden room, like the Chevra Kaddisha, the rabbi takes you in the back room, you tear for other Krovim. Or if you're in front of people, you could like cover it with your winter coat and tear. But for Avim V'Imo, it has to be done in public. You have to really lower yourself in public, the person has to. And therefore, it has to be in public, not in an inner room. And it has to be not under their coat, but where everyone could see where they're tearing. However, we mentioned earlier, if it's a woman with only one layer, then, because if Tznius were docha this, and she would go inside a hidden chamber and tear it and safety pin it. Okay, we're going to have to stop now. We'll pick up Sunday. Will be the last of